Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Last week we left off in verse 34, and Paul's beginning a new section starting in verse 35, but we are going to pick it up in verse 40 and kind of hop around just because it's a huge section that has a lot of, like, basically a lot of mini points to make a huge point. Like, huge point. Seriously. So, yeah, let's stand on our feet. We're going to start in verse 40. If you'd like to read in the future for context, you can do that, but I'm going to catch you up. Shh, everybody. Since I made the donut or the waffle shot, you guys owe me. Yeah, waffles. Waffles, you guys don't understand. When we do waffles, we bring up tables. Like, we fill this place with round tables, and then we, like, it's not like waffles. It's like whipped cream with a side of waffle, and like chocolate syrup, and like strawberries, and oh, it's... Aren't you going to, like, Europe? Isn't Europe, like, the home of waffles? Yeah, or crepes. Okay, everybody on your feet. Serious, guys. Connor, on your feet. Verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now let's jump to verse 50 and read from there. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die. Sleep is a fancy way to say die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be together this morning as children of you, children in your holy family. And we pray that you would speak to us the exact message you want each of us to hear. We know that you have the power to cut through our hearts and give each and every one of us individually exactly what we need. So please do that this morning. Help us to be attentive to receive what you have for us, to be focused, serving you and ministering to you as we study your word, denying ourselves and distractions in or outside of this room. And I pray that you would fill me with your spirit to speak your word clearly and applicably, and that each and every one of us, including myself, would grow deeper in you from what you teach us this morning. We love you so much, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab a seat, everybody. So I am super excited today for the topic that we are covering, because today, Connor, I'm serious, keep it down. Today we are talking about spirituality, and spirituality is a super hot topic right now. It's crazy how hot this topic is right now. It's like everyone wants to kind of have their cake, but they don't want to eat it too. So, like, we know the saying, like, they want to have their cake and eat it too. Hey, guys, like, before we even go any further, if you make any more noise, you're going to have to sit apart, okay? You just can't be that distracting while we're teaching the Word of God. It's just non-beneficial.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And I'm seriously so stoked, because this is a hot topic right now. And what I mean when I say everybody wants to kind of have their cake and not eat it too, is everyone is interested in spirituality. They all want to explore who they are, and kind of, you've heard people say, like, they want to find themselves. You've probably heard people use that phrase, like, I'm trying to find myself, and they'll use different things to go about that. Some people, they want to explore a God that they kind of want to make up and find on their own. It's very individualistic. Everyone's doing their own thing, but here's how they don't want to eat their cake too. Not many people are really interested in changing their lives once they find that spirituality. So once they discover spirituality, they don't want to change their lives in response. But we sometimes forget that in the midst of a time when spirituality is like a hot topic, that Christianity is so spiritual. Christianity is founded upon spirituality, and then we kind of like go from there. The base is upon spirituality, and then we build on top of it. But it's something that collectively we don't focus on too much. We don't spend too much time talking about spirituality. And I think the reason is because as Christians, we don't want to become so focused and so obsessed with spirituality that we forget about the here and now. And we forget about the world that is outside of us going the opposite direction. And so, yes, we look forward toward spirituality, but we don't become stuck on it. We don't, like, live with our heads in the clouds, ignoring everything else that is around us. But it is good to know. So today we are going to talk about spirituality super candidly, openly. We're not going to tiptoe around anything. We're not going to cut any corners. We're not going to take anything for granted. We are going to go as deep as we can in a, you know, like 35-minute teaching, and I'm going to cover as much as I can so you guys can really understand the spirituality behind Christianity. And it's such a huge topic, but we're going to look at what Paul has for us. But here's what I need from you guys today. Because this is such a huge topic, it's so kind of abstract, like it's sort of outside the norm, outside of what we can really see with our own eyes. I need you guys to be like engaged, frontal lobes turned on, like your thinking cap powered to number 10, the max of the max, because it's really good. And I think you guys are going to be super interested in what we cover, because I think you're going to learn some stuff that you didn't know before about the future we have in store as Christians, and then about your current state as a Christian right now, and just as a human being. So they're huge topics, but Paul takes it step by step. So turn your thinking caps on. If you left your brain at the door when you walked in, pick it back up, stick it back in your head, and tune in, because there's so much good stuff. I'm seriously so excited to go over this with you guys, because it's like, even while I was preparing, I learned so stinking much. And that's how it always is. But in this case, it was like so much. It blew my mind. It's crazy. And I think it will blow your minds as well. Now, before we get into our main points today, Paul lays a foundation for us. It's a really good foundation, and it's totally outside of the norm, the way that like humans normally think, and the way that we tend to think as Christians who are humans. And this foundation is two different bodies, two different words that Paul uses to talk about human bodies in verse 40. The first body that he mentions is the celestial body. Can you say that? It's like kind of weird. Celestial.
Celestial.
Yes, very nice. And then the second body that he mentions is the terrestrial body, like ET, extraterrestrial, but not that. Extraterrestrial is like outside, but terrestrial. Yeah, okay, you get it. So let me explain these. This is the foundation Paul builds for us, and then we're gonna kind of stack upon it. So you got to get these locked in your brain, and then we will move forward from here. So the terrestrial body is The terrestrial body is something that every single human being, Christian or unchristian, has. It's their imperfect physical human body, the terrestrial body. A good way to remember it, do any of you speak Spanish? Like maybe you're starting? Or maybe you have like, you have a grandma who speaks Spanish or something like that, or an uncle? So, in Spanish, do you guys know like the word for land? Tierra? Tierra. Tierra is like land. I think it might be earth, like the earth that you can like grab with your hands, like grabbing earth, like dirt and stuff. That's tierra. So because that comes from like the Greek and Latin root, you see that right there. Tierra, right there, terrestrial. So it's earth. It's the earthen body. It's the imperfect physical earthly human body. So it's our mind as it is on planet Earth currently. It's our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions as we live on Earth. It's also our soul. So the part of our body that gets tempted, or the part of our body that has passions, that's kind of its own self, that has individual thoughts and desires, our soul is terrestrial. But it's also our spirit. So our spirit, as we live on Earth, is terrestrial. It's imperfect. It's earthly, in its earthly form. It's a terrestrial spirit. But it does, it's the part of our body that interacts with God. So this is the terrestrial body. Very simply put, every human being has it. It's as they are on earth, but it's also their soul, spirit, and body. The physical, all of that together on planet Earth. But then Paul mentions the celestial body, and this is very different. The celestial body is the heavenly body, and this is something that only Christians will be. Christians become the celestial body when they are resurrected by Jesus at the rapture of Christians. So not when they die, but in the future when Christians are resurrected and Christians are raptured, when we are raptured by Jesus before the 7 years of tribulation, that is when the celestial body, that's when the terrestrial is transformed to celestial. In verse 52, Paul says, "For the trumpet will sound," talking about Jesus returning to rapture the Christians, "and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And that change that Paul is talking about for Christians, both dead and living at that time in the future, is change from their terrestrial body, soul, and spirit to their celestial body, soul, and spirit. So the celestial body is a heavenly spirit, and it's a heavenly soul, and it's a heavenly body. It's physical. We hear celestial body, and we can think like a star, or like a little fluttering, like puff of air that like floats out. But the celestial body is physical. It's a real thing that is being transformed from your body on earth and into a heavenly body. And Paul says his main point in these sections is that these two bodies are completely different. They are not current from each other. So it's not like you have a terrestrial and a celestial living on like different realms at different times, but Christians who currently have a terrestrial in the future will have a celestial when the rapture occurs. Do you track with that? Is that clear? That's like the foundation. I know it's like, it's hard to imagine. Do you guys have like any initial questions about it? Because I can go a little deeper. So terrestrial, remember like terra, meaning like earth, is your earthen body. And then celestial, cielo is the word for heaven in Spanish. And that's how you would remember heavenly body. Cielo, cele. I don't speak Latin, so I don't know if that's right. Cele, celestial. But that will help you distinguish the difference. Terrestrial, terra, earth, celestial, cielo, heavenly. Paul's main point is these are completely different. They're not current with one another, completely different. And he spends the rest of this chapter talking about how the celestial body, the heavenly resurrected body, is different from our current terrestrial body, our earthly body. And this is what we're going to focus on today. Three ways that Paul mentions in chapter 15 that our celestial or our terrestrial body is different from our future celestial body, or three ways that our resurrected heavenly bodies will be different from our earthly bodies. Yes, the Bible is specific about this. Paul is specific about it here, and we can start to understand it. A bummer is you are not going to understand it 100%. I don't understand it 100%. Paul doesn't either, but we get a glimpse. Paul talks about it in another part when he's writing to another church. He says that getting to know God is like looking through a blurred glass, like looking through a foggy glass. Like if you've ever put on like your grandma's glasses and they're like this thick and you put them on and it's like, like you don't even know if you're on planet Earth anymore. That's what we're told in our terrestrial body. That's what it's like trying to get to know God. It's like looking through this blurry glass. We can make some stuff out. We can see a figure. We can sort of start to understand how it works, how it would affect us. But that's pretty much where it stops. But we are going to get to know that this morning, how it works, how we can get to know it and get to know ourselves, even in that blurry lens. So here are the three points we're going to break down today. A little screen. Natural versus spiritual is our first point. Second, corruptible versus incorruptible. And then third, mortal versus immortal. I think this is so cool because these are things that people are so interested in right now. Like natural versus spiritual, people are so down to talk about that. And Christians, we are so down to talk about that too. Like, oh, it's so good. It's so awesome. So those are our points. Natural versus spiritual first. Second, corruptible versus incorruptible. And then third, mortal versus immortal. Capiche? You feeling it? Good? Tracking? Haven't lost you yet? Okay, keep those frontal lobes. Keep your thinking cap, whatever your metaphor is. Keep it on, because we're still tracking. So, natural versus spiritual is our first point. Paul says in verse 44, it is sown a natural body. So that word sown, what he's talking about is that our bodies are like a seed. So the seed is our terrestrial body, our earthly body. And then that seed, what does a farmer do to it? He buries it. He puts it underground. He throws it out. And I mean, some people, they dig a little hole and then they do a little that. But farmers, when they're really growing stuff, they just throw it out there and hope it sticks. That's what seeds do. They're thrown out on the ground and they're buried. So our terrestrial body, the seed, when it dies, is buried. Or for some, it's cremated, you know, whatever happens. And then it is raised. A new, completely new plant comes out of that seed, and that is the celestial. This is Paul's metaphor, and he continues it throughout the whole chapter. It is raised a spiritual body, he says. Then he says, verse 44, there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body, currently. So, here's what you gotta know. Every human being, everywhere, Christian or not, is composed of three parts. Some people call it the Trinity of man. We are composed of a body. What you see right here, the thing that has cravings, like gets hungry, and like some other cravings too. We have the body. Then we have the soul. And the soul is kind of like what makes us us. It's our passions, our desires. The soul is what Satan or, you know, other enemies, demonic forces will communicate with to tempt us. So they're communicating with our soul. So when we see something we know we shouldn't do, that's our soul going, ooh, but I want it. It's the soul. But we also have the third, a spirit. And the spirit is the part of the human body that interacts with God. And it's real. It's really there. Without the spirit, we would not have interaction with God. Now, here's the issue. When sin came into the world, things flipped around. It used to be that our spirit was in charge of the body and in charge of the soul. But sin flipped things upside down, and now we are enslaved to the cravings of our body, and our soul is at battle with our spirit, and our spirit is still communicating with God, but also trying to constrain these things that are going crazy, and it's insane. It's wild. But every human being currently, right now, right here, has a spirit, soul, and body. But we, in this evil state, are ruled by the body, those cravings that the body has. When a human dies, their spiritual body continues to live. Now, for some people, we know they will enter into heaven worshiping Jesus face to face for eternity. For other people, their spiritual body will be separated from God for all of eternity in hell. This is the only change that applies to everyone. Everybody has an eternal part of themselves that is going to live forever. For some, if they believe in Jesus Christ, they will be worshiping God forever in heaven. For others, if they don't believe in Christ, we know they will be separated from God in hell. Because we are all spiritual beings. It's already who we are. God made us with a spirit. Lecrae, the rapper, the Christian rapper, he sums this up so well. Lecrae is like a theologian. He's crazy. But he says in a rap, this is a song, he says, the truth is you're going to live forever whether you like it or not. Some of us are going to end up holy and some of us are going to end up hot. He raps it like cool. That was so like lame the way I did it because he's like, truth is you're going to live forever. But I don't do that. But that's the point. You're going to live forever whether you like it or not. Some of us are going to end up holy and some of us are going to end up hot. Now, here's what Paul's focusing on. There is a spiritual body that only Christians receive when they are resurrected at the rapture of the Christians. And this is different from the body dying and the spirit being separated and continuing to live. This is when the physical human body at the rapture is resurrected, and that body is transformed from the terrestrial state into the celestial state. And what that means is the natural body no longer rules. So that order of body, soul, spirit is reversed once again, and it is spirit, soul, body. It is still a physical body. It is still your body that you were born with, but transformed completely. And the spirit is in control. The spirit is directing. The spirit has rule and is in full communication with God. But you also have soul. You also have your own personality. You also have your own passions, your own curiosities, your own feelings, and all of what else you have. And you also have a body. The celestial body is not a star that floats around and leaves a little like trail of love. No, that's not what it is at all. The celestial body is flesh. It's physical. It's real. It's touchable. Jesus, when he was resurrected, people could touch him. He could also walk through walls, but people could touch him. No, but he's physical. Physical, embodied, but ruled by the spirit, no longer ruled by the body. Oh, it's crazy. So that is natural body versus the spiritual body. As Christians, when we are resurrected at the rapture, when the terrestrial shifts to celestial, it becomes led by the spirit. That is the first point that Paul mentions. The second point that he goes into is corruption versus incorruptibility. Verse 33, Paul says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. Now that word corruptible, we're used to talking about it in a metaphorical sense of like sin. You know, someone who's corrupt, usually that's like saying they're really perverted, or their mind like kind of goes to the gutter, or they're like so destroyed by their sin, they're just corrupt, and their mind is always corrupt. But Paul's using it here in a 100% literal sense, which means to physically decay. Our bodies are corrupt in the sense that they are decaying. I'm sure you guys know this. Your body is like falling apart upon itself. From birth, it's been kind of getting a little bit better, and then it's like also different parts of it are just failing left and right, and they're like, it's shedding them and leaving them left and right. Here's a few points for you guys. You're gonna like reach your peak at 25. I'm so stoked because like I'm almost at my peak. That's what everybody pretty much scientifically agrees, that you will reach your physical peak of like growth and improvement at 25. And so if you're like fit and like healthy at that moment, you will never be better in your life. But if you get fitter later on, you'll be better. But that's like the peak of physical ability. And then from there, it just... yeah, down spiral. But even along the way, we are just crumbling to pieces. Your body sheds skin cells. There's dead skin cells. You guys know about this? Like, yeah, your body sheds dead skin cells. It sheds 8 pounds of skin cells a year. 8 pounds of skin cells a year. Do you realize, like, if you could, like, gather that and see it, does anyone, I'm like, what does that, what would that look like? I think it would be based on like a square inch of skin, how much is shed in like a minute, and then, yeah, Terry. I've seen that. They've done it at my house, and they do your bed. Oh, it's so gross. Vacuums. And it's like thick.
And then the husband would buy it because
you're gross. Oh, it's so gross.
But it's like because your skin falls off
your skin. Oh, it's so gross.
Yeah,
I think so. But luckily there are mites that feast on your dead skin cells all throughout the year. So it doesn't load up. It doesn't build up upon you. That's nice. Also, your hair is primarily composed of dead skin cells and just dead cells that have kind of started to form, and then they grew out and they died and they're colorful and they're like so pretty and stuff, but they're dead. Also, your fingernails are primarily dead cells. They keep growing when you die, so hopefully our resurrected bodies are gonna have like a mani-pedi thing. That would be a bummer. Oh yeah, we do. We love our dead skin cells. We like to show them off. And it's estimated, this is interesting, it's estimated that you lose 7,000 neurons or brain cells a day. They die. And these things are helping you grasp the world around you. Now, in light of like 100 billion, that's not that much. But still, your brain is like shrinking. Not you guys. Your brain is still growing. So is mine. Terry, your brain is shrinking. Sorry. Just because you're the only one over 25. Yeah, this is nuts. We are falling apart. We are dying. But this only applies to our terrestrial body. When we are resurrected at the rapture, our physical body will be transformed from corruptible, from decaying and dying and shedding skin cells everywhere we go, to incorruptible. So we will go from getting sick from bacteria and like having to battle it with our white blood cells to being incorruptible, 100% reliable. Our bodies that are flawed and faulty and unreliable will suddenly be, in a twinkling of an eye, the complete opposite. Yes. I don't know, actually.
Well,
no, you wouldn't.
So
But they might still be there.
Like, oh, cool, baby.
I don't know. Yeah, white blood cells just chilling. Chilling for all of eternity. Treat them well. So, here's something I really like to think about as a psychology nerd. This is something that really excites me, to think of an incorruptible mind. Can you imagine that? No more stress. Like, there's a good type of stress, and I'm sure we'll have that. But you will no longer have that. No more depression. No more anxiety. Okay, you guys gotta leave that drumstick down. That's the spiritual powers. Just kidding. But seriously, our incorruptible mind, well, it's not going to have a hard time learning anymore. Can you, that's crazy. We're not going to have faulty thinking, faulty ways of thinking. We're going to think about the whole world around us correctly. It's going to be, right, I might not be socially awkward anymore. It's crazy. I know, hard to think of, but believe it, it can happen. So, this is the transformation of the terrestrial to the celestial, and it includes going from corruptible, decaying, to incorruptible, completely reliable, indestructible, I don't know, can't be destructed. That's crazy. Now, the third point that Paul mentions, he talks about transforming from mortality to immortality. This is very interesting. The final change that he mentions is going from the mortal body to immortality. Paul goes on in verse 52 and says, And this mortal must put on immortality. This is awesome. So the terrestrial body, as some of you know very well, is mortal. What does this mean? It dies. Like, that is the ending to everybody's story. There's, I mean, a few people in the Bible that, like, yeah, technically, like, two. Few people in the Bible that didn't happen to. And there's, in the future, there's going to be some people that are raptured that won't happen to. But pretty much, almost like 99.9999999999999% of people, that is what the future holds for them, is death. And that is what the future held for them in the past, is death. And death is something that everybody faces. If you look at someone and you have nothing in common with them, you at least have that in common. You have death in common. You're both dying. You're both going. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a great conversation starter. But this is not the case for our celestial body. At the rapture, when we receive our resurrected bodies, we will become immortal. Yes, immortal, undying, never ending. Yes, 100% immortal. After our resurrection, our bodies will live forevermore. And there's a clear distinction that I need to make. And this is that being immortal does not mean that we are infinite. This is very important to grasp. Being immortal doesn't mean we're infinite. And here's why. God is infinite, which means that he has no beginning and no end. Our resurrected bodies are immortal, which means that we have a beginning but no end. So, some people think this, but it's not true. We weren't like, before we were born, like chilling up in heaven with God, being like, so, which one's gonna be my mom, dude? Just like looking down, hey, she's kind of pretty. I think like I'd look pretty good afterward. No, that's not what was happening. You did not exist until you were created in the womb of your mother. Your spirit didn't, your soul didn't, and your body didn't. God created it. And in Christ, we can receive immortality, which makes us still finite because we had a beginning, but eternal. Eternal. Having a beginning, but living forever. What's important about this is that when we see Christ face to face, we will never lose sight of him. It will never go away. There's like no worries, no fears, nothing to fret about, because the peace that you've entered into cannot be taken away from you, not by time, not by death, not by decay or corruption, not by anybody else, not by anything. Yes, Grace.
You're in the womb with our spirit, or was
it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, scientifically, I don't know what point the spirit would have been made. I would think, man, at like initial conception, so pretty early on you had a spirit. We'll just leave it at that. We're not going to get too detailed. But this is very important, because immortality is a hot topic right now. Do you know that there are scientists, this is not a joke, there are scientists researching how to put an end to death. You can watch documentaries on it right now. It's really weird. They're weird scientists. But they are legit scientists, like PhDs and all that. But they're goofy. They're kind of out there. But they are seriously trying to stop death. We hate death. Like, think about it. Everything we invest in this body, everything we invest on Earth, all that we lay up, when we die, it's gone. We don't like this idea. And so mankind is doing all that it can to fight that. But we know from Scripture, we cannot outrun death. We can conquer death by the power of Jesus, but we cannot outrun it. I am sure as technology advances, men, like human beings, are going to get old. We are probably, if we remain on Earth and the rapture doesn't happen for a long time, we are just going to keep getting older and older as technology advances, but we won't escape death. It won't happen. We know it from Scripture, and we just know it from history, that we cannot escape death, but through Jesus, we can conquer it and become immortal, changing this terrestrial body that is fully mortal, corruptible, and decaying into the celestial body that is fully body, fully spirit, fully soul, incorruptible, immortal. Now, as we come to a close, Paul ends the chapter with like a hoorah! Woo! He's like, seriously, he really does. He says in verse 54, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory?" As Paul mentions all this, he says, here's what you need to focus on. Get your head out of the clouds. Yes, it's so cool to think that we right now are 100% soul, spirit, body, interacting with God, interacting with demonic forces as well as they tempt us, but then interacting with the world around us 100% of the time, and then being transformed into a celestial body that's going to be 100% with God, controlled by the Spirit, but still having flesh and soul and personality and desires and passions. It's cool to think. But Paul says, don't focus on it. There's a whole world around us that is darting the opposite way. And because we know this truth, because we know that our terrestrial bodies can be transformed into celestial bodies, that should change the way we view everyone. The way we view our friend who we know is not saved, we should have like a little bit of an emotional crisis, because we know what eternity has in store. When we think of our family members who are not saved, this should awaken a passion for us to be presently involved in their lives, to point them to Jesus, to shine that light that Jesus talks about in Matthew, to be a light shining on a city, pointing the love of Jesus, living it out loud, to be salt in a world that is so tasteless and so dry. And so Paul says, death is swallowed up. We cannot outrun death, but we can conquer it in Christ. It's a game changer. And the whole reason he wrote this chapter It's because there were people in the like in the Grecian countries, in the Grecian cities, who fully believed that resurrection is not a thing. And this is important for us to understand because the people, the Greek philosophers, were smart people. Yes, they were relatively ancient, but they were philosophers. They wrote things that we, that philosophers currently look at now and go, mind blown, and sit and read it for hours and hours on repeat so that they can try to understand the world and what was going on in their mind a little bit more. These people were very intelligent. And they were in the churches as well. But when Paul would say something like, the power of the resurrected Jesus gives us future resurrection as Christians, they would laugh at them. The smart people, the scientists, the philosophers, the astronomers, and astrologers as well, would laugh at them. They would make fun of them, saying that they're unintelligent. Because science shows that we can't. Because philosophy shows that you can't be resurrected. But we know the truth. Paul tells us, we read it a few weeks ago, that 500 people witnessed the resurrected Jesus and not a single person writes, these people should be locked up in a loony bin, they're crazy, they're out of control, they're hallucinating some resurrected person that's totally dead. No, not a single person does that. They do it before Jesus is dead, saying he's a lunatic, these people are crazy, but not after. And so Paul writes this because when we believe resurrection, our life here on earth should be transformed. Yes, it will be transformed in the future because that's how it's going to be, but we should change the way we interact with everyone, the way we use our words, knowing that words are such a powerful tool. We should change the way we are specific with people, asking them how their day is, asking them if they believe Jesus or not. Because we know the truth. And we have, as people are searching for immortality, we have the answer. Not just for a spiritual body, but for a physical resurrection of our bodies to be led by the Spirit. Then Paul ends this chapter saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is in vain. So as we've already touched on, Paul says, this is awesome. But don't forget about the world around you. Don't forget about the people who are rushing the opposite way. He says, first, you need to be steadfast. Know what you believe and why you believe it. This is why we spend so much time in Thrive Junior High talking about complex things like spirituality. Because you don't need to know like Bible stories. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. Then he says, be immovable. Believe that so much, have your faith increasing more and more every day to the point that nothing in this world, no matter how fast people move toward it or away from you, will shake you up. Nothing will shake your faith. And then he says, always be abounding in the work of the Lord. He says, serve the Lord with all that you are. Not just plugged into a church serving him, but serving the lost, serving the people who we know what eternity has in store for them, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, knowing that everything we do here on planet Earth, because we are not just body right now, we are spirit, soul, and body, knowing that everything we do is not in vain, because in Christ we are immortal. In Christ we will have eternity. Yes, this life is crazy and it's awesome and there's a lot of fun, but eternity is ahead of us. Eternity with Jesus. No more stress and anxiety and fear. No more phobias. Like, it's incredible. And so with such a reward ahead, Paul says, run with endurance. Run this race that Christians have set before them. Living out in the world, living for God everywhere you are, school, home, chess club, whatever else, I don't know, gymnastics studio, karate, taekwondo, judo chops, Live for Jesus. Do it all for him, because nothing we do on this life is in vain. Your labor for the Lord, it amounts to so much. Things that we don't see right now because we have that blurred vision. Our eyes are blurred by humanity, by being ruled by this body. But when we are transformed and ushered into eternity, we will see how everything we did for the Lord here on earth was not vain, but was valuable, was so worthwhile. Let's pray. And we've got one more chapter in this book. Paul is, the next chapter, he really concludes. And he, so this was like his final hoorah, where he is like, and then he like, he uses the last chapter to kind of like gather his breath and, you know, tell his friends that he said hi and all of that. And then he gives us really one final exhortation that we'll see in probably a couple of weeks. And we'll be finishing it up. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be a part of your family. And that as being a part of your family, we have access to this knowledge and awareness of something that those who are not in your family do not have. This truth and understanding that is seclusive to really just us as Christians, because we have your Holy Spirit moving in us to teach us things. So help us to apply this to our lives in the way that you want us to. Help us to be so excited that we are leaving this terrestrial body behind, but that it is being transformed when you rapture us into a celestial body, and that we will live immortally, incorruptibly with you for eternity, led by our Spirit. Help us to be excited by that, but to not allow that excitement to distract us from the world around us, but to cause that excitement to fuel us in our involvement in the world around us, and in loving the world around us, and being on mission and evangelizing in the world around us, because we know that our work for you on planet Earth is not in vain. So teach us to think this way. Teach our corruptible minds, as they currently are, to think more in an incorruptible way. We love you so much, Jesus. Be in everything we do this week, our school and our friends and our family. Be in everything that we say and everything that we do. We are so thankful to be a part of this calling that you've placed on each and every one of us and on us as a youth group. And we pray that you'd continue to grow us. We love you so much. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.